Thank you. Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is just to orient us to where we are. Check yourself that you're in the... Well, let's see, I'm on. It's real loud. I may be a little excited. Yeah, I may be a little excited, I don't know. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. And just to check out our place with the Holy Spirit, where we are. Let's pray. Father, what a privilege it is to come and assemble ourselves with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you. To take a short time out of our life to just orient to what our life is about. It's not about the day in and day out problems that frustrate us. It's not about the financial juggling, the interaction. It's about worshiping you, letting our lives be a worship of you, letting our marriages be a worship of you. How wonderful it is to just assemble with other believers, encourage, fellowship, and be with each other. Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you. In the power of your Spirit, and in the name of your Son, we pray these things. In Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's start off. There are three pages. Which one are we going to sing? 40. All right. Three hymns, three pages have the same song. 40, 41, and 42 all have the same song. And since I don't care, it doesn't matter to me which one I read out of, if the words are the same. So, we'll do all four verses, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing together. I don't want to spend much time on any other things. Just turn this over to John. It has just been so phenomenal having John here. When I went to the airport Friday morning and he walked through the gates, I just thanked God. And I left John last summer neither Judy nor I thought he'd ever walk again. And walking without a cane and all these things. And it's just been a wonderful time. Coming to here, I was explaining a little bit about the building and meeting here and how it's all working out. And I got to tell you this because some of you will love it that know me. He said that what some people in his church did, they came to him, especially this one lady, and they needed things in the church. And, y'all put in carpets with the
carpet, air conditioning, reupholstered the pews,
garage sales. This lady came. And of course, John and I come the same. He said, wait a minute, I got to think about that. So he goes into fervent prayer and all this stuff and finally decided, they won't make much anyway, so let them have it. First time they did it, $1,500. Wait a minute, this is a good deal.
I had a great idea.
And I told him my church would never do it because they know who would buy everything. I said, what's that? The first couple they had was really cool. They bought each other's stuff. And then they'd bring it back at the next one. Somebody else would buy it. But it's been great having John, and just wish to be here a lot longer. I'm going to leave tomorrow.
Herman, but we could sell all your stuff and build a building. Yeah.
Just forgive him. Just forgive him. So I don't want a garage sale. People might buy. Gee whiz. Oh. Do you think? Okay. Any questions? Next week will be Easter. And we will have communion, but we will not have the supper because we're going to have that today, the lunch together. So I hope after you're through, you just stay around. The men will set up all of our tables so we can sit here and talk, and you can get to talk with John and enjoy some fellowship with him that some of you really wanted to do, so we can do that. And the next Sunday, Easter, we will have service and then communion, and then you can go be with your own families on Easter afternoon, so that will be the schedule for that point. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposeth in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is one not only saved people, but one who is in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the great issue in giving. Paul says that I give everything that I have to the poor, so that I myself become poor. But do not have love, dash the filling of the Spirit, profiteth nothing. So let's spend a moment in prayer preparation for the offertory. Once again, Father, as we enter into this facet of worship, this assembly is always calls to remember the two great spheres of freedom that are crossed at this point, that make this offering possible. The political, economic freedom that we enjoy in America. The freedom to do with our lives and our resources as we see fit. It's our decision what we want to do with our money, things that you give us. And we value this freedom. The freedom to live wherever we choose, marry whom we choose, and live and go to worship wherever we choose. Marry all the wonderful decisions we have to make day in and day out. And we are so appreciative for the men and women who protect this freedom, provided politically, economically for us, throughout the history of this country, right up to this very hour, or this very week, many of our personnel died. But Father, we cross that with the great freedom wherewith we have been set free through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the subsequent resurrection. For it is in this realm of freedom that we have eyes to see how to use our political, economic freedom. If it were not for the spiritual freedom we have in Christ, we would not be any better off than anyone else. But we know how to make our decisions in regard to our freedom, what to do with our time and our money, whom to marry and why, and where to worship and why, and all the decisions we make with a spiritual, eternal impact. Father, we pray that you receive the offerings this morning, and that you will use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior, in whose precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to go into a great deal, just to say that John and I have been friends since the 60s, and it is a real privilege to have him here. I always look forward to going to Tucson and teach there. They keep trying to do different things to discourage me. One time they tore up the whole house, the floor, but I told them I'm still coming back. And if you ever, there are people that you don't even know that feel so close to this church, and we feel close to them. Every Tuesday night is Tuesday night prayer. How many of you get a prayer meeting? 18. And you're in their prayers every Tuesday night, and they just feel close to us and we to them, and it is a real privilege just to have my close friend John Hintz come and teach. John?
I don't think God changed his mind, but I know that people were praying for me all over the world. And as Herman and I were talking about the other day, I said, you know, he honored all those prayers and he answered some. Because we were talking about whether or not, you know, people who are not filled with Spirit and they're praying for you, you know, what does God do? And but he honors those prayers, and for those who are filled with the Spirit, he answers those prayers. And I can tell you many a time as I, after I came to, you know, good news and bad news, I told everybody. The bad news was I had a lot of road rash after my wreck, but the good news was that by the time I came to, most of it was healed. And so you just got to have those things. I was in the brain injury ward for a long time. I don't know why. And I don't know how they could tell. But I got better, and I felt, I don't know what's the apprehensive after I got better, and I go to the doctor, and they'd say, wow, never thought I'd see you doing this well. You know, I say, well, that makes you feel good. And but I can, oops. Did I ruin your piano? You know, I was going to pray that this hand would be like this hand, but but I can move my arms, and so, I mean, it's really, you know, really a miracle, and I appreciate it. And oh, so we went to see Bill Hess yesterday, and he was not doing well yesterday at all. Since then, I think he's doing a little better. But boy, you need to keep him in your prayers. But we got there, and he was so glad to see me, and we talked a little bit, and he wanted to show me his scars. So he lifted up his gown, and there's his scars. So I pulled up my T-shirt and showed him mine. He laughed. We had a good time, but keep praying for Bill. I understand your pastor is going to take a trip to Zambia and Nigeria, and I'm so excited about that. Let me tell you, the people in Africa are hungry for the word. And Herman and I both talked about this. The only danger about going to places like that is you get so used to people that just want you to teach and teach and teach and teach. And then we come back and it's... You know, you've been teaching for about 20 minutes and people looking at their watches, tapping them, you know. And as opposed, we were in Kiev and I taught for an hour and then I said, okay, we're going to take a 10-minute break because I needed a break. And she taught all day. And so take a 10-minute break. So 10 minutes is, and the people never move. They just sit there. And 10 minutes is up, they start tapping their watches. It's time to start. I thought, whoa, what a difference. But I'm glad he's going. The people are hungry. And let me tell you, teaching the pastors is the way to go. So that you spread yourself, you multiply yourself. And that's what we're trying to do there is train pastors to go out and to teach. And that's what they're doing. The Risley Ministry is doing fine. Grady and Cheryl just had a new baby here a few weeks ago, a little boy, and they're doing fine. Grady has really started a prison ministry. Bill said for years we always wondered where the men were in Mexico who are interested in the Lord. And he said, we found them. They're all in prison. And so he goes and he'll have 50, 60, 70, 75 men come to his Bible studies. And in the Mexican prisons, the guards guard the prison. They're outside the prison. They make sure nobody gets out. So when you go in to teach, you're pretty much on your own. Now they don't, because the guards don't go in there. And so Grady goes and just gets a real response. So there are a lot of churches and people that go and teach, and they'll have three and four people. And Grady will have 70, 75, and because he just teaches right out of the Word, and he teaches, shall we say, in a manner that they can understand. Pray for him. I admire this guy. He prepares his messages in English, then translates them into Spanish, learns them in Spanish and goes and teaches them in Spanish. So that's a real, you know, real gift. Several years ago, some of the people, the guys in our church came. They had this idea. And this was after the yard sale idea, so I was a little more open. And they said, you know, we want to start helping the Risleys print their Bible study lessons and take them into the northern part of Mexico where they really haven't been in about 10 years. And what do you think about that? I said, man, I think it's a great idea. They were told me what they were going to do. I said, look, but here's the deal. That's you guys' ministry. It's not the church's ministry. I'm not in charge of that. Don't come to me. You guys do it. And so now they have four or five people that print lessons. And every other month they take about 10,000 Bible study lessons to northern Mexico and pass them out, and they just deliver them to several different places, and then people come and get them. And that's probably what one of the things that really said what the Risleys are doing is working. Because here these guys go into an area where they haven't been in 10 years, and the fruits are there. And there's one lady in that area that has personally led over 2,000 people to Christ. And it's interesting, as soon as they get their lessons and they start sharing them with other people and other people and other people, which is bad, because every time somebody accepts Christ, then we have to give them a Bible. And y'all have sent money for Bibles, and they just go, boom. And so we tell them, you know, be a little more careful. You don't have to tell everybody you know about Jesus. Come on. But I'm personally very satisfied with their ministry. The first time the Risleys ever came to speak. There again, somebody kept saying, I know this missionary couple. I really want to speak at church. Yeah. Come on, oh, y'all know. No, fine. I said, oh, okay. And Bill comes, and he's got his five kids. And he says, you know, we've been on the mission field now about 15 years, and we're still not sure what missionaries do. We just stand around and watch God work. I said, yes! And boy, has he been working through them. So there we give you a couple of reports on how things are going. Oh, Grady, one of the prisons that Grady speaks in, thing tried to bite me a while ago. One of the prisons that Grady speaks in, one of the guys came up to him a month or two ago, 6 weeks ago, and just crying. And he said, Grady, he said, in 2 months they're going to evict me. Grady said, they're going to what? He said, they're going to evict me. He said, you mean they're going to let you out? He said, no, they're going to throw me out. I don't want to go. Grady said, why? He said, well, since I've been here, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I'm studying with you every week, and I'm growing spiritually. He said, you know, if I go back home, I know I'll just fall into the same old crowd I've always been with, and pretty soon I'll be right back into sin. I don't want to do that. I'd rather stay here. Grady says, wow. He said, you know, he said, well, I've been thinking and praying about it. He told Grady, he said, do you think I could just come live with you when I get out? And that way I could go with you to the prisons, and I could learn what you're doing and study, and maybe one day I could go and speak in prisons. That's what I want to do, is help you. So Grady said he had to go to the next prison. He said, well, I'll think about it. So what he's thinking about doing is something for y'all to pray about. He's thinking about opening a halfway house for his prison inmates. When they get out of prison, they would come and be a halfway house where he could teach them, they could study, and he would train them to go into other prisons and to give the gospel and to teach the word. So that's something to pray about. Now, I tell you, especially back in our doctrinal days, if we looked at their lessons, we'd said, no. These are just so simple, you know. They don't know anything about epistemological rehabilitation. you know. But I'm going to tell you something. They're written in a way that the people that they minister to, many of them have as high as a second and third grade education, can understand. And I'm just amazed at the number of people that come to know Christ every week through their ministry. And so there we go. Okay? Hebrews 13, let's pray. Father, I pray that as we spend a few moments in your word today, that God, the Holy Spirit, would just teach us, speak to us, show us the things that you would have us to see today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I know we're going to have a good time today as we study the Word. I love to teach, love to preach. And I know that the Spirit of God is going to be here today. And I know that we're going to be moved by the Spirit. And what I want you to start to doing, I want y'all to go out there. I want you to make sure that you're sending in your seed faith, your tithes, that you're out there working hard, that you're working for Jesus. Because remember, God helps those who help themselves, and He helps those most who help God. And the more you do for God, the more He's going to do for you. And I know today we're going to have the Spirit move upon us. I know that we're going to have a healing service. In fact, right now, come out, dumb spirit! Come out, dumb spirit! April Fool. You know what the sad thing is, people? Millions of people in church today, and they're hearing stories about their grandfather, the pastor, and he would take the corn, and every year it came time to plant the corn, he pulled out his best ears that he had from last year. Those were his seed corn. He saved the best. We have to save our best for Jesus. And he would plant that corn, and you can't get a better return on your crop than what you plant. And that's what people hear in church all over. And it's April Fool. And they're being April Fooled every day. Some of you, I could tell, you don't know me. You were just about ready to walk out. I had to quit. Thought you had moved into the wrong church. We were praying that Herman gets the Spirit. But don't be fooled. There are only a few churches in the country that are teaching the truth that you're getting here. Of simple faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and simple faith in the Spirit for the Christian way of life. And I think sometimes we get so used to being fed that we forget how good the food is. We get so used to the good food, we just think that everybody's getting good food. And they're not. That was one of the things I wanted to demonstrate. Most of Christianity is just being fooled. They're being suckered. And they've fallen for the lie that the more they do for God, the more He will do for them. And if you watch, my wife gets so mad at me, I watch Christian TV. That's where I get my sermons. Not that you have any people like that here in Dallas. And I watch these people and I just, you know, I don't know whether to laugh or cry. And I see one fellow, it's in the state of Texas. And he starts out every service and people hold their Bibles up. This is my Bible. And they talk. They put their Bible down. He didn't even give them a place to go. He didn't even start anywhere. That's the last time they used their Bible. The only reason they carry their Bible, hold it up. I guess you can look around and see if somebody stole your Bible. You try to look around and see if somebody got it. But that is what church is in so many places. We forget what we have. So I want to start out this morning, if I can find my peepers. Yes, right here. Look at chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 28. Now chapter 12, well, I'll go a little bit further. Just short background. In Hebrews, here's a church, we don't really know where it is, and we don't know who wrote the book. But boy, it's a good one. And the people are saying, man, where's God? We're under suffering. We're under persecution. Our lives have gone to hell in a handbasket. Can I say that here? Our lives have gone to beep, in a handbasket? Or it's a handbasket we're not allowed to say. I never can get to remember what I can and can't say. And where's God? Why doesn't God do something? And the author of Hebrews writes and says, man, we have the greatest picture of God. We have Jesus Christ. And y'all have a wrong view of God because you don't know Jesus. If you got to know Jesus, you'd know God. You need to change your view of God. So I brought this, the latest, well, I borrowed Herman's, I forgot mine. But Risley's put out a newsletter, and Amber, when she was 15, Amber Risley, she decided what her mission was. It was going to go to Hermosillo and to work in the children's hospital and to minister to the people there. That was her mission. So when she was 18, she moved to Hermosillo. And she found a place to stay, and she would cook and, you know, make soup and things. And then at the children's hospital, this is the charity hospital, where the really poor people go. And the parents, the hospital's free, but you have to pay for your own medicine. So they don't have enough money to eat and pay for medicine or a place to sleep. They just sleep on the ground around the hospital. And so Amber would bring them food and would pray with them and minister to them. And many, 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 many every week would come to know Christ. Now, met a Mexican guy. You meet a lot of Mexicans in Mexico. She married Jose, and now they both minister there. And so, a little article that Bill wrote, just a little paragraph. And Amber's been in a hospital ministering to another young lady. And he says, Amber returned to find an older woman who was in tears and very depressed. Amber asked her if she would like for Amber to pray for her, and to Amber's surprise, she said, no. She said she was pretty mad at God for letting such bad things happen to her, and if prayer would do anything, God would have done it by now. See, that's where these people in Hebrews were. As Amber spoke to her, she realized that the woman was told that she was dying, but she had no idea what was wrong with her. Her name was Lupi. He says, this situation is not that rare because the Mexican people generally have very little understanding of their bodies and how they function. Amber spoke to some of the staff at the hospital and found out that Lupi was indeed dying of uterine cancer with about 6 months to live. Amber returned to talk with her some more. And after about an hour, Lupi accepted the Lord. Amber was also able to give her some comfort in knowing that the Lord loved her and was allowing this to happen to her for a reason. Lupi was almost skin and bones, and Amber asked her if she could get her something to eat, and she said that she wasn't able to keep anything down. So Amber started to name some foods to see if anything sounded good. And when she said chicken soup, Lupi's eyes lit up. And Amber said, would you like some chicken soup? And she said, yeah, with some vegetables in it. And the next day, Amber returned with some soup she had made, and Amber smiled at her and asked her if she was still mad at God. And Lupi smiled and said, absolutely not. I know that the Lord owns me now, and that I also know that whatever He chooses to do with me will be the best thing for me. Now, that's the kind of ministry that they have. Just ministry. You see, a few years ago, the church went into kind of a social ministry, and it put the emphasis on the social, but not on giving the gospel. But I've been down there. I'm going to try to get Herman to go with me when he comes down to our church in May or June. And they minister to the people just through love. And for years, Amber has been trying to get the hospital administration to let her go into the hospital and minister to the children there. And this last month they said she could go. And so, and these are just people that love to tell people about Jesus. I've never seen anything like it. You know? See, where legalism comes in, it says, you have to be like they. You got to be able to go and talk to people about Jesus right off the street and bring them to the Lord. See, that's what legalism, or God doesn't love you. But what grace says is, if that's what I called you to do, through the power of my Spirit, I'll make it work. I'll make it happen. And that's what they do. So, do you see where these people are in the book of Hebrews? Now, in chapter 12, the author gives the contrast between the Old Covenant, Mount Sinai, and the New Covenant, Mount Zion. We worship Mount Zion. And he's drawing it to a conclusion. And I just want to read the last two verses of chapter 12. See, we really don't have time to go through the whole book, because it'd take 2 or 3 hours to teach this whole book. Just want to go through a few things. But look at verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, in other words, it's eternal, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Okay? Look, you don't have anything? Rome's come, taking all your possessions. I mean, you got to realize that these people are between a rock and a hard spot. Because they had left Judaism, all of their family turned against them. Lost their jobs. And because they were Christians, Rome was against them. And persecuted them. And the author says, hey, think about the future. We are part of an eternal kingdom that's going to last for eternity. Don't sweat the small stuff like being beaten, starved to death, put in prison, beheaded. You know, small stuff. Don't sweat that. Don't sweat that stuff. Worship God. Notice this. Let us be thankful, and by being thankful, worship God acceptably. In other words, worship Him with something that He accepts. Now, I want to point that out because chapter 13, He tells us what God accepts. See, when I was April fooling you, what does the April fool pastor? See, from now on, every time you hear one of these guys, I want you to think, April fools. What is he teaching? You got to tithe. If you don't send God your seed faith money, God will not bless you. The more you do for God, the more He'll do for you. I heard about a guy that he got one of those letters and said, if you'll send me, the preacher said, if you'll send me $1,000, God will send you $10,000. He wrote the preacher back. He said, you know, right now I'm doing pretty well financially. He said, it sounds like you probably need the money more than I do. Why don't you send me $1,000 and God will send you $10,000? He never heard back. But do you see that mindset that people are in? And so we think that worship, sacrifice, things that God wants, are something we can do for Him to impress Him. So, the author says, okay, now I'm going to give you some things that are worship, that are acceptable to God. It's nice, you know, God says, I want you to do something for me. Okay, what is it? Well, he tells you. I want you to trust me. I want you to walk by faith. I want you to trust my Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you can't help but worship God. So notice the first thing he says in verse 1. Keep on loving. Present active imperative. It's a mandate. Keep on loving one another as brothers. Now, maybe this was just written to the sister. No, it's written back and forth. See, this church, really, they're Hellenistic Jews. So they have a Greek background. as well as Jewish. So they have the worst of both worlds. No, I didn't say that. And in the Greek background, you do for your family. Whatever your family needs, your immediate family, you take care of them. What anybody else needs, who cares? They're not your problem. Do you see that? Now, the author says, you treat one another as if they were members of your own family. We call it spiritual love. It's just a little bit different aspect of it. See what he's saying? One another. First act of acceptable worship to God is spiritual love. Isn't that neat? You want to worship God? See, if you really appreciate all that God has done for you, you want to worship Him. If you really appreciate it. How do you worship Him? What do you offer Him? What's the sacrifice you give Him? It's not your money. It's love, spiritual love. Where does it come from? Filling of the Spirit. Where does that come from? Trusting the Spirit to give it to you. Everything else comes out of that. Spiritual love. Do not forget to show love to strangers. For by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. I got to hurry, but I got to tell you this story. Okay? 92, we're on our first mission trip to Russia, and we're in Kiev. And we're in the subway station. You've never been in a subway station, Moscow and Kiev, wow. And that thing is about four different subway platforms, and it's quarter to mile to half a mile deep in the ground. And Buddy and I, he's going with me, and I'm going to teach class. And, of course, it's easy to find, but everything's written in Russian, and we don't know what they say. Other than that, it's okay. We could ask someone, but they don't speak English. And we don't speak Rushdie. And so we're lost. We had to ride the subway, and we knew where to get off. Kept watching. We realized we got off. And then we had to catch another subway, and we didn't know if we went up to catch the subway on the upper deck, you know, the deck above us, or down. Because they go different directions on whatever. And so I'm starting to go down, and I said, no, it's up. And my buddy's kind of looking up that way. And here comes a guy, all of a sudden, just coming up the stairs. I don't know where he came from. He's just dressed like a Rusky, top coat, hat, so forth. And he stops right in front of me, and he says, go down and go that way. I said, sir, what? He said, go down and go that way. That's right. Go down and go that way. I said, well, okay. So I, Gene, come down, come on, let's go. I turned around, the guy was gone, or where he went. So we went down, we went left, we found our subway, got to where we were to go. Whoa. My buddy says, that was an angel. I thought about it, I said, could have been. So you see, this isn't where I I may have been entertaining to him, but he entertained me. He took care of me. He showed love to me. That's the way we're to be with others. See? Show love to them. That's worshiping God. That's what He likes. Remember those in prison. Verse 3. Hey, be concerned about. By the way, this is another present imperative, but it's a passive voice. It's something that you receive. Your concern. You receive that concern. Why? Because you're filled with Spirit. And when you have love, what's important? Other people. Not you. Other people. So you're concerned about other people. Many of the Christians had been imprisoned. You never know when God's going to stop providing for you. It's always best to have some money put away. I was being facetious, people. No. God's providing for me. You have a need? Here, let me fill that need. Wow. See, that's what love does. Let me tell you, when I was down and out for the count, so to speak, I had some money needs. Well, I was brain damaged, folks, okay? Brain shear, that's where your brain splits in half. And, you know what? Some people I knew, some people I didn't really know, took care of my financial needs. See, that's love. You see that? That's love. Wasn't. Well, I'm going to pray for you. No. Okay. Let me warn you. Be careful. I warn you. It's probably best not to pray for people. You know why? Because if you start praying for them, God's going to lay on your heart their needs, and then He's going to lay on your heart to fulfill that need. So just don't do it. See? Because if you don't do it, you're going to feel guilty. And under conviction from the Holy Spirit. So don't even pray for people. No. See why you start praying for people? You start thanking God for all the things that you have. And that, man, I have a kingdom that is eternal. That's where I'm going. And you start praying. And you see people's needs. And you say, God, how can I help fulfill that person's needs? And God provides. Remember the people in prison. He says, those people in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. And you may soon well be. That's my addition. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. People were mistreated. Now I got to get to verse 4. Marriage should be honored by everyone. See, it's something of great value. And the marriage bed kept pure. Now, that doesn't mean always make sure you have clean sheets. I'll read it, then I'll tell you. For God will judge the adulterer and all sexual, and all the sexually immoral. Look, you wonder, how does a guy go from loving one another but don't love that person? Some of you got it. All of a sudden he says, let me throw some practical stuff in here. Okay? First of all, you and I know that one of the foundations of national freedom is marriage. Family. Who knows? One day marriage may come under attack in our country. I doubt it. Here's what he's saying. When you're walking in the Spirit, spiritual love means you're faithful to your spouse. See? I tell you that, ladies. That's why we got to stop fooling around. Faithful to your spouse. You married? You want to offer God a sacrifice? Be filled with Spirit. Love your spouse. Wow. That's a sacrifice that He's pleased with. Nothing to do with Christian service, tithing, morality. No, 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 no. By the way, morality is good. We're not against it. Some people get confused. We are for morality. It's just not the way to be filled with the Spirit. But if you are filled with the Spirit, guess what? You're moral. Right? See what he's trying to tell us? We're not against Christian service. Look, next time you see something needs to be done in a church, don't do it. God doesn't like those who serve in the church. No. Christian service is not the way to impress God. It's not the way to be filled with the Spirit. It's not the Spirit. It's not how. It's the result of. When you're walking in the Spirit, you'll serve in the church. Man, you're going to be saying, hey, what can I do in this church? What can I do to help this church? What? Lord, use me. Now, be careful when you say that. Okay? Because God has a sense of humor. He says, okay, I'll use you. Oh, no. That's, see, when we really understand what we have in salvation, man, we're excited to serve God. And how do we serve Him? By trusting Him, being filled with the Spirit, and therefore loving one another. See, that's how it flows. Now, there's another meaning here. What I've discovered in a lot of Scripture, there's a meaning that's surface and it's very important, and then you look a little bit further and you see something else and something else. In the Old Testament, the Jews were constantly committing spiritual adultery, going to law instead of faith. You see what he's saying? We're the church. We're the bride of Christ. We, as the bride of Christ, have to keep our marriage bed pure. Wait a minute, what's he talking? I thought this was a grace and faith church. You know, grace and faith, I just trust God and do whatever I damn well please. No. By the way, I can say damn because I'm licensed to preach hellfire and damnation. Okay? So, see, I can say that. We have to keep our spiritual marriage bed pure. You know what that means? Stay away from the list. Stay away from the law. Stay away from do and do. And just trust the Spirit. Walk by faith. See how we keep the marriage bed, our spiritual marriage bed pure? By walking in the Spirit. By faith. Not by law. Oh, I love this verse 5. Woo! Hey, Paul, you don't have to be Paul anymore. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Oh, nonsense. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Keep your lives free from the love of money. That lust, stinginess for money. Keep your lives free of that. See, why is it that when we see people in need, we don't want to give? Because money's important to us. That's how we live. That's our stability in life. Okay? And so, we become stingy with our money. God says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. You know what I love about this? Most of these people didn't have nothing. But they did. See verse 28, they had, of chapter 12, they had an eternal kingdom that would never be shaken. So chapter 12, God says He's going to shake around and roll the universe. Okay? But we have a kingdom that's eternal. And you're down and out Sometimes you think, man, I ain't got nothing. You know, you're like the poor snake. You don't have a pot to hiss in. Okay? You know what you have? You have an eternal kingdom. It's yours. Be content with that. Be content. Be content with just worshiping God. Be content with that. Be content with loving others as Christ has loved you. Be content with that. Now, another level here. Money represents the labor of our own hands. Okay? Labor of our own hands becomes our God. Idol worship. You know what he's really saying? He's saying, keep your lives away from do and do. Keep your lives away from the gospel of the more you do for Jesus, the more he'll do for you. Keep away from that. That's idol worship. See what he's saying? Stay away from that. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Never, no, never, ukme, never will I abandon you. And never, never, never will I forsake you to separate connection with you. Man. Someday you may say, because I personally think the time may be coming in our country where things are going to fall apart. Y'all like us in Arizona. Y'all will be part of the new Republic of Old Mexico. And everything's gone. What do you have? You have a God who will never leave you, never forsake you, and you are a citizen of the eternal kingdom. Wow. Isn't that great? See, the things that we have that are important are the things that are eternal. For this reason, he says in verse 6, not we say, literally it's say. It's a present active imperative. Say with confidence, with faith, trusting God, trusting the Spirit. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? You know, it sounds like this guy's probably read Paul a bit, Romans 8. Who shall ever separate me? Who will ever separate me from the love of God? Nothing. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to get up and read the newspaper and all of a sudden, I have friends, they read the newspaper, they get angry, mad. One of them's me. Look, I don't have to be afraid. What's the Lord going to do to me? See, what's really important? What's really important is my worshiping God. How? Giving Him thanks for all I have. Loving as Christ loved. And then let that love blossom. Let it go wherever the Spirit takes it. Then He says, verse 7, remember. Now, remember your leaders. These are the pastors that have been in the church. It's just a little church, probably 20, 30, 40 people. Who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I love this. Well, you just be mindful of your old pastors. Reflect upon them. They taught you the word of God. Reflect upon the results of their way of life. You know what? They were probably executed. You go, wow, isn't that great? imitate them. Say what? Yeah. They were faithful till the end. And it's interesting when you read about the martyrs throughout church age history, especially in Rome in the early days of the church, many Roman soldiers came to Christ as they saw the way Christians faced death. Praying for them. What is wrong with this guy? I'm putting tar on him. I'm fixing to light him, you know, light him up. And he's singing, "Come on, light my fire." What is going on here? And they came to know Christ. Imitate their faith. Not how they talked. Not how they walked. Not how they held their Bible. Not, what you know, combed their hair, dressed. No, no. Their faith. That's what we're to imitate. Now there's... I think I'm going to get me a black marks a lot. I take a black marks a lot. I mark out things in my Bible I don't like. I'm going to mark that one out. Because you know what that says to me and you, Herm? That says we got to be people that trust God all the time so people can imitate our faith. That's a heavy load. You know what that means? You people better be praying for us. That's what that means. That's what that means. You better be praying for us. Remember, pray for your leaders. Herman and I were talking. I always quote to him in Timothy where Paul says, bodily exercise profiteth little. You know what? You know what's a shame? We spend more time taking care of our bodies than we do our soul and our spirits. We spend more time working out, being in shape, doing this, doing that, than we spend in prayer. Than we spend in just reading the Psalms, reading Scripture, and meditating on the good things that God has for us. We spend more time on our bodies than we do nourishing our souls and our spirits. But that's just a little aside. That's free. Doesn't cost you any money. Look at verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, I love that verse. You know what? This is funny. What do the do and do pastors? I always have to make sure I put the and in there. Do and do pastor. Sometimes I forget the and. People have lists. People have law. What are they teaching? In order to live the Christian way of life, you have to tithe. You have to keep the law. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do yonder. And they quote this verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what that means? They'll tell you. Just as they tithed in the Old Testament, you're to tithe today. And it means the opposite. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look, the first pastors that came to this church, they taught you faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. They taught you the Christian way of life is walked by faith in the Spirit. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. The pastor you have today, what is he teaching you? Faith alone in Christ alone for salvation. Faith alone in the Spirit for the Christian way of life. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday and today. And guess what? If anybody comes tomorrow and they teach you anything different than faith alone in Christ alone and faith alone in the Holy Spirit, forget them! You see what he's saying? Don't go for do and do. Or you'll end up with do and do without the end. Just, I wanted to cover more, but I just want to cover 9 and 10. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teaching. See, this is the contrast. The strange teaching is keeping the law. It's the do and do. That's just what I call it. Works. More you do for God, the more He'll do for you. That's strange teaching. Don't be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened, to be made stable by grace. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. God, the Holy Spirit, just gives us that stability when we trust Him. That's grace. Not by ceremonial foods, do and do. They have no value to those who eat them. You see, the Judaizers were coming along and they said, you people really want to live the Christian life, then you got to keep the feast. You got to keep the festivals. You got to eat certain food. Don't eat other foods. Go to law. And this author says, that's strange food. Stay away from it. And what he's saying? Don't be a fool. Don't be part of some preacher's April Fool joke. And be the fool. He says, there are no value. We have an altar. That's Jesus Christ. He's our food. He's the bread of life. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Wow. Those people who hang out in the tabernacle, those people who hang out under do and do, teaching law, living by law, they don't have the authority to eat the bread of life that we have. They don't have that authority. A couple other good things in this chapter, but I'll just have to wait. Maybe another day I'll come back and finish these things for you. Don't be part of an April Fool joke. Don't fall for false teachers. Don't fall for strange teaching. Don't fall for this stuff of do for God and He'll do for you. But instead, be one of those believers who's constantly giving thanks to God and worshiping God. And how does He like to be worshiped? By your walking in the Spirit, by faith, and loving one another. You're going to be seeing the needs of others. I wouldn't be surprised if each person here doesn't know maybe one or two people that need Christ as Savior. Probably don't know any more than that because almost everybody's a believer in the world. Yeah. You love people to Jesus. You love them. You want to bring people to Christ? Love them. That impresses them. What is it? What do I see in you? I don't see. You see Jesus. You see that? You love them. You may know two or three people that are going to the first church of what's happening now. Hallelujah in Jesus. The April Fool Church. You'd love to see them have good teaching. Love to see them. How are you going to... You're not going to argue with them over here. Okay? You don't argue people in the kingdom of Jesus. You don't argue people into the kingdom of the Spirit. Okay? Get people into the kingdom of the Spirit. That's just a term I made up. I don't know what it means. But it sounds good. Sounds good, use it. Just like you get them in... When I say the kingdom of the Spirit, the kingdom of walking by faith in the Spirit. You get them into that kingdom the same way you get them into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. By love. By love. And that is a sacrifice. That is an act of worship that God accepts. It pleases Him. He enjoys it. But it's not going to be with that cost. It means you're going to have to pray for them. I'm going to challenge you. Get two people. Is that okay? Herman, straighten me out next week. Get two people. Ask God to give you two people that you can talk to about Christ, that need Jesus. And he'll tell you who it is. I don't mean like he'll say, Jim. Jim is one of the seniors in the church, and he walked with Jesus, but it's fun because he's a couple of months older than we are. And, but he'll lay upon your heart a couple of people and pray for him. Pray for him every day. Every day. And then when that opportunity comes, give them the gospel. And you'll know, they'll say something like, "Wow, I don't know what the world's coming to. I know one day I'm going to die, and I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm afraid it's hell. I hope I don't have to go there." You know, and you'll say, "Ooh, could this be an opportunity?" And so you say, "Yeah, me too." Give them the gospel and love. Yeah. Ask the Spirit to lay upon your heart two people that you can pray into the kingdom of the Spirit. Two people you'd like to see out of the April Fool Church. And really, so their lives could count. Because you know what? I didn't read you a little part. Our God is consuming fire. All of their tithing and good works and things to impress God, they're all going to be burned up. So pick out two people that God lays on your heart not to have all their works burned up, because they're going to walk in the Spirit, be part of the spiritual kingdom. And pray for them every day. And love them into the spiritual kingdom. Don't argue with them. Discuss things as they come up. Don't argue. And you know what? Third thing, I'm going to give you permission. It's okay to invite people to church. It's okay. You know what we think sometimes is we think, "Well, you know, I really like this, but no way anybody else would like this." We're ashamed. "Well, I'm glad I know Christ as my Savior, but I know my friends that surely they wouldn't want to know Jesus." We're ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Because that's the power for eternal life and the abundant life. Read a survey some years ago. 80% of the people who visit a church, they come for only one reason. Somebody invited them. Whoa, imagine that. And I read this recently in another survey, the huge number, percentage of unbelievers, and they were surprised that their Christian friends had never invited them to church. You know what? We live in a very affluent society today, and the more affluent we become, the more empty people are in their soul. And we have the bread of life to feed their soul. Share the bread. I wish that rhymed. You know, if I'd been Reverend Jackson, Jesse Jackson, I could have made that rhyme. Share the bread. Father, I thank you for the time that we've had to come together and feast on your word for a few moments. I pray that your Spirit would take these things that you've laid on my heart today and just make them real to each one of us and use them. I pray for this church. I pray for this ministry. I pray that you would bless this ministry, bless this church, and exceedingly and abundant above all that we could ever ask or think. Father, I thank you that we are part of an eternal, unshakable kingdom. Thank you for that. I thank you for the teaching that comes out of this pulpit day after day after day from Herman. I thank you for him. I thank you for our friendship. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Oh, and while I'm at it, I'm going to thank you for the food that we're about to eat. I'm going to go ahead and thank you now, Lord, so we can hurry up and eat and not have to do this twice. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Spread the bread.
There you are. Spread the bread. See, where were you when I needed you?